Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today once again is Alec, wearing a lovely Athens Galathea kit that we spoke about before recording. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a nice kit, isn't it?
It
It's
is.
beautiful. I went to see them last season against Lamia in the Greek Cup round of 16 second leg where they lost. But I was enamored by their kit, and so I had to go and buy it. It was about £60 though. I mean, these don't come cheap, but
That
it's
is
the
quite
kind of kit that you
expensive.
can wear and it doesn't look like you're wearing a football kit, if that makes sense.
And you can see why it won awards as well, that kit from last season. I think then they have the German designer who also did,
Yeah.
I can't remember
Venezia.
which, Venezia, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lovely kit. And I guess we'll just jump straight into it. So not a lot of playoff games were played this weekend because Olympiacos and Balk were in Europe, and they got that weekend off. But we'll start with the playouts very briefly. So Panathinaikos 2-2 winners over Ofi, Volos also 2-2 winners over Adromitos. Asteras Tripolis got a pretty important 1-0 win against Bastionina, in the sense that Bastionina are really down and out now, not mathematically, but it's not looking good for them. And Panadoligos away win against Kifishia. So that's the playouts. Anything that just before we'll briefly talk about them as we have a bit more time. Any matches that really stuck out to you results wise?
Yeah, I mean, well, Panathinaikos, Ofi, you can completely disregard. That was the most pointless match of the weekend. Volos Atromitos, Volos moving 1 point closer to safety. The big one really is Pasianina nil, Asteras Tripoli one. Because I don't know if you watched the highlights, Steve, but it was such a sad match of football. Not in the sense that it was a bad game of football, but Pasianina had so many chances and they really deserved to win. Their first half was incredible. And they had like a header saved on the line, for example. And then Asteras Tripoli score in the 93rd minute and pretty much send them down because I didn't realize this, Steve. It's sort of crept up on me. There's only three matches left of the relegation playouts. They only play each other once, which means that Pasianina need to win all three of their remaining games. Can you guess how many games they've won already this season?
I'm looking at it right now. They've won three, so they
They've
have
won
to.
three, so they need to double their win tally for the season. To have a hope of staying up as well, they also need Kifisia and Volos and Panathinaikos to drop points. And then the other big match, of course, Panathinaikos getting that 1-0 win over Kifisia, which could be the relegation decider because it's sort of between those two teams now. 2 points separate them going into the last three games. And this weekend, we've got all four relegation candidates playing away from home. No one playing against each other in this weekend. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Kifisia and Panathinaikos do on the road. Yeah, I think Pasianina are doomed. And after that 1-0 win, Panathinaikos look good for their safety, I reckon.
Yeah, potentially. And I guess there's always the question mark of, obviously, with what was said about Volos by their owner, about them maybe not even existing after this season, whether
True.
second from bottom stays up or whether an extra team gets promoted from Greek Super League 2. We'll have to find that out once the season ends. So you never know. One team, if they finish second from bottom, they may not actually go down, but we'll have to see
Good
what
riddance
happens
as
there.
well if Volos do sort of cease to exist because they should not exist in the first place. They are a Frankenstein monster of a club run by a man who is a racist and good riddance to bad rubbish, I say.
Well,
Send them down. Send them down, Steve.
it's interesting you say that because I spoke to a woman at work the other day who was from Volos, and she just said that Veos is an absolute crook. He's a mafia boss, and that's putting it lightly. So, yeah, a lot of people share your sentiments about Volos as a club. They are they're you know they There's two historical teams, Niki Volou and Olympiakos Volou, and Volos is more or less just taking up their spot and not really kind of engaging with the community like those two other clubs are. But yeah, we'll go next to your boys, Alec. AEK Athens, 2-0 winners over Aris, 100th anniversary. There was celebrations the day before the game, if I believe. They had a hot air balloon in the middle of the pitch. And in the game itself, Ezra Ponce got a brace to give you guys a fairly comfortable win by the looks of it over Aris. And I guess before we go into the actual match and how you guys performed, we spoke about this before the recording, the kit. The 100th anniversary kit that was released
Yes.
for AEK Athens is, well, look, I'm an Olympiakos fan, so it might come across as biased, but it's certainly something else. You can give your thoughts on it as an IGAT and supporter.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the kit that I'm that unhappy with. It's more the badge, which is just an amalgamation of just horrendous design. It's like someone who has just taken like an online course in how to make a football graphic and has just thrown something together. There's this massive 100 in the middle, which dominates the badge. It's a real eyesore, and I just wish they'd have kind of looked back and maybe taken a retro badge instead, and maybe taken a leaf out of Athens Kallithea book and just keep it simple. Keep it simple, Steve. That's what you want for a classic kit. That's what you want for people to buy it, not just to wear it, you know, out or to the match or whatever. You want people to buy the kit that makes them feel like this is a timeless thing. And I think the badge ruins it. The rest of the kit is fine. Stripes, not necessarily the most, you know, classic thing. I think that their original kit this season looks more classic than this 100th anniversary kit. But I mean, that's by the by. I mean, happy birthday to AEK and another 100 years to come.
Yeah, and as you said, the simplicity of the badge. I think I said to you again before recording, just have the two-headed eagle, just have AEK on the badge, have it in gold, have it kind of emblazoned on the side of where a badge normally sits on the shirt, and just have it as that. Keep it simple because people will buy that, and I just feel like it looks like something you'd wear at a supermarket as like an employee. And like the hoops stripes are fine. Like the overall kit itself is okay. It's just the badge kind of ruins the effect. But going on to the game now, like I said, very comfortable for you guys.
It was very comfortable, surprisingly so. I mean, Ponte scoring a brace. He's really stepped up whenever we've needed him this season. They were two sort of simple finishes, both crosses from the left. The first from Hadji Safi, and then the second from Eliasson, who is really racking up the assists this season. And that was enough. There were two very early goals, and from that point onwards, it never really looked like Aris were going to come back. And of course, this is the weird sort of stage in the season where, in the championship round, you just play the same teams that you played before again this weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see if Aris have a response this weekend playing at home. The most important thing is the 3 points, and they went top of the league since Park didn't play.
Yeah, and I wonder if, Olympiacos and Balk not playing this weekend. I know that both teams now have a game in hand on Panathinaikos and AEK, but it does feel like it hurts their chances that little bit more because now the pressure is on them to sort of regain that, like kind of lower that gap that was there before this weekend just gone. And it might, as great as it is to be in Europe and have a run, it might be detrimental for the title. But I mean, I guess some people would say they'd rather have a European run
Well, I mean, I think the match is rearranged for the 1st of May, which, if either of the teams get through to the semi-finals of the Conference League, will have to be rearranged again. So it sort of really loads up the end of the season for both teams. And I think they've got a pretty well, both teams have a really difficult run going towards the end. I mean, the final day, I know you've probably seen Panathinaikos Olympiakos, is going to be a very interesting game. But then if you've got PAOK Olympiakos like the week before or the week before that in midweek, it's really going to be quite a busy time.
And we could genuinely still go into the final day of the season where no one's won the league, no one's mathematically confirmed the title, and that could make I don't think I've ever witnessed that in Greek football ever. Always being on the winning side normally, or being on the side that's lost it like 5 weeks ago. Anyway, we go to Panathinaikos. They won 3-1 over Lamia, pretty routine for them as well. Although that being said, Lamia did take the lead through Slivka in the 14th minute, and then Serin scored in the 18th minute, 4 minutes later to equalise, and Bonnard with a brace, and one of them being an absolutely brilliant free kick from the Brazilian. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. It's a really, really good goal, and they pretty dominant performance from Panathinaikos overall. 23 shots, 6 on target. Lamia had one, and that was the goal in the 14th minute. So pretty comprehensive. Panathinaikos hadn't slipped up against Lamia, and they continue on, Alec.
Yeah, I mean, no one slipped up against Lamia. It's sort of a shame because I thought they might put up a bigger fight than Volos did last season in the championship round. But without Carlitos, they look completely toothless, absolutely toothless. Their best player is Slivka, and he made no mistake for their goal. It was an awful error from Kotsidas to give him the ball, literally passed him the ball just in front of the penalty area, and Slivka puts it away. From that point, it might have looked like Panathinaikos might have a sticky day on their hands, especially when Bernard missed a glorious chance. And may I say that Fotis Ioannidis again played his absolute socks off. He was running the show. His link-up play and just like his weight of passing, it's the small details, Steve. But for Bernard's first goal to make it 2-1, it was just such a deft pass right into the path of Bernard, who chips it over the goalkeeper. And then the free kick, as you say, unbelievable. If you haven't seen it already, go watch it. But yeah, getting the job done, and I don't see any different this weekend either. So it looks like AEK and Panathinaikos are only going to be separated by 1 point, even after this weekend.
And going to Panathinaikos again quickly, there have been rumors, and this is, but not from the most legitimate sources. If you read Sport Time for your news, fair play to you. That's where you get your news from. They've been rumoring that Terim is going to leave at the end of the season, and that Panathinaikos are already looking for a replacement for him. And I don't know how much I believe that. I've said that I wouldn't have been. I said it in honesty on this podcast. I wouldn't be surprised if he had leaves at the end of the season, but I don't know how much I can believe Sport Time as a publication when it comes to that sort of thing. And I think that it's too early to it's even though it's very end of the season now, it's still too early to say that because Panathinaikos are still in contention for the title. And I think that if he wins it, he very well could leave because he's done his job. But at the same time, if they just miss out, he could leave also because he hasn't achieved his. So it's high risk, high reward with Terim by the looks of it. And like I said, he could very easily stay, but it is interesting that there is kind of news trickling out there. It's probably Turkish media and then Sport Time have picked it up or something, but I don't know your quick thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Olympiakos and Panathinaikos have switched manager strategies because you've just made it very clear that Mendilibar will be staying for next season as well. It's a weird one that Terim would be rumored to leave, especially given the position that Panathinaikos are in at the moment. I think if he does win it, he would stay. I think that would make a bit more sense. Like, why would you leave a club that you just won a league with? You'll be in the Champions League next season, and have an opportunity to get into the group stages for the first time in what, like 10 years, over 10 years. So yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, Steve.
I agree. I agree. And like I said, even though I've been very much a conspiracy theorist where I think Terim will leave either way, I also think that he could very well stay. And interestingly enough, Fernando Santos just got sacked by Besiktas and he's been linked to
Did
Panathinaikos as well. So imagine if they sack Terim and bring Santos in. That would certainly be something. We'll go through the table quickly, even though Olympiacos and Bark didn't play. So AEK top of the table, still on 69 points after 31 games. Panathinaikos on 68. Bark on 67 with the game in hand. Olympiacos on 63 with the game in hand. Aris on 48 points. Lamia on 34 points. And then in the playouts, it is Asteras and Adromitos on 34 points. Panathinaikos on 32. Ofi on 31. Volos on 29, Banadoligos on 27, Gifishia on 25, and as we said, Bastianina 19 points. If they lose this weekend, they could very well be relegated.
I think they will be relegated because
Yeah,
then there'll only be
regardless.
6 points left. Actually, it does depend on what Kvisia do,
If
but yeah, I
Gifishia
think I'm
lose,
there,
then they have a
Donis.
chance. They have, but then the next weekend, then regardless of what happens, they have to win. And hope Gifishia lose. So it's going to be. Yeah, an interesting next weekend in the playouts. We will go now to Europe. So, Olympiacos, 3-2 winners in the early round against Fenerbahce. And for the first 65 minutes, we were talking during the game, Alec, for 65 minutes, Olympiacos were excellent. Kostas Fortunis scoring the goal of the round as the Europa Conference League. In social media accounts said, which is the truth, brilliant goal from a mistake. I think it was by Soyuncu, who was previously at Leicester City, and who I never rated anyway.
Yeah, he was crap.
Yeah, Stefan Jovetic scored in the 32nd minute to double our lead. And then after half time, Chiquinho scored in the 57th minute. He had an excellent game overall. Was probably man of the match, actually, in that game. And we were cruising, but then 10 minutes later, silly mistake from Panayotis Retsos to give away a penalty. Dusan Tadic, formerly of Southampton, puts it away to make it 3-1 to Olympiakos. And then a few minutes later, actually, Kvaratskhelia scored in the 74th minute to pull the tie back for Fenerbahce when it looked like they were almost certainly down and out. So, yeah, overall, I've written a preview about it, and I kind of described it as it's an almost great performance. And that's not being negative and being like, oh no, we've ruined it, we bottled it. It was still a brilliant performance overall, but the result is difficult now because going to Turkey with a 3-goal cushion would have been a massive for us, because I think it would have been very hard to have seen us kind of lose that tie overall. Whereas now it's a 1-goal cushion, so all they need is 1 goal to level the tie, and then a second kind of get knocks us out. So Olympiakos, it's good they got the win. But we need to now go there and score first if we have any hope of progressing to the semi, our first ever semi final. And so it's going to be tough, you know, going there with no away fans, but then the volatile atmosphere we'll receive, not just because we're an opposing team, but because we're a Greek team as well, going to Turkey. It's going to be very, very difficult. Probably the most difficult game of the season for Olympiakos overall. Alec, your thoughts on this game?
I mean, it's the first hour was incredible. Olympiakos were like lightning, and looked like they were going to score every time they went forward, and they went forward with real purpose and created more than just the chances for the goals as well. It could have been 4-0 up by the time the penalty was struck. But then after 60 minutes, Mendilibar just doesn't change anything. And you see Fred come on, you see Yüksek come on for Fenerbahçe in the midfield, and that's when the tide started to turn. And still Mendilibar didn't change anything. And you saw that Fenerbahçe had a really strong period between sort of 60 minutes and 80 minutes, until some substitutions eventually got made. The penalty itself, I mean, Retsos must be getting absolute pelters in the dressing room after that, because
He's
it's
getting
an
pelts on
absolute
social
needless
media.
challenge. I said on Twitter, I don't think he even means to tackle him.
No.
I don't think it's a tackle. I think it's a block. He's trying to block the cross, but the player, I can't remember his name, just pulls it back instead, and he's almost off the pitch when the contact happens as well. It's a complete non-penalty. The ball's already gone. By the letter of the law, it is obviously a spot kick, but Retsos must be kicking himself because he really didn't need to do that. And that just gives Fenerbahce hope. It gives them a way back into the tie. And then after that, Kvaratskhelia's goal at the back post, the marking wasn't great for that either.
No.
And yeah, 3-2 going into. But you would have taken that, Steve, wouldn't you? You would have taken that if I'd have offered
Yeah.
to you before
Okay.
kickoff, right?
Completely. Like without the context of where we were before we went to 3-2, I would have absolutely taken a win, because it Fenerbahce, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not kind of stupid in the fact of knowing that they have a better team than us on paper. You know, they have a lot more money. The budget for Fenerbahce's pales is much better than Olympiakos's, but at the end of the day, we completely outplayed them, and we overall, Olympiakos deserved the win for the vast majority of the game. We were the better team, and I guess that's a criticism on Mendilibar, rightly so. You know, he, like you said, he didn't make the substitutions at the right time. He even admitted that in the post-match press conference, which I think a lot of Olympiakos fans really appreciate from him. There's no bullshit with him. He will come out and say, I made a mistake. You know, he puts it on himself. It's not just about a manager taking responsibility for the players not performing. It's him kind of saying, you know what, I should have done that, and next time we'll look to improve that. And I guess on Retsos as well, he's a really easy target for Olympiakos supporters. And I think while he has these tendencies, and this is the second time consecutively in Europe where he's given penalties away, which could have cost us. If you look at his stats, he was excellent that evening before and even afterwards as well. I think he's one of the best performing set defenders in that game, but it's just that he does have that tendency in him. And so it's hard to judge, because I think he is a big game player for us. But then at the same time, he can't let this start to become a habit. Because if you remember, Usain Ubar started having that tendency as well, giving away penalties, getting himself sent off. But he was a very, very good defender technically. But just that that mentality, it's that kind of moment, those moments where you can cost your team. It's not a good thing to have. But he's suspended for this game, so he won't be for the away leg, so he won't be playing anyway. And Andreas Ndoye will be probably playing next to David Carmo. So it doesn't really matter now, but I felt more bad for him than anything else because he had a really good game up to that point.
Yeah, and so did David Carmo as well. He was playing very well
Oh yeah.
up until the moment when the penalty gets given in there, and then kind of Olympiacos slightly fall apart in defence. You'll be very annoyed by that second goal, probably more than the first goal, because the first goal you can kind of write off, like it's an individual mistake. It's not a structural thing. It's not a team thing. But then after that, when Fenerbahce were threatening more and more, you just thought, well, there's something wrong here. The team aren't playing well. Did you see Fenerbahce's game at the weekend though?
I did not. I did check the result. They won away from home, didn't
They did, but they didn't have it all their own way, and they needed a
they?
red card and a penalty to get past. I think the 18th team in the league, Fatih. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the last bit. Kerem Gülçük. Oh, I just did.
No, he did all right.
And they really are kind of like bottom of the barrel in the Turkish Super League. So interesting to see they really had some problems there, and they got away with it slightly in that match.
And I guess also to Kostas Olagis in goal, man, he's we finally see him for the, it consistently in the Olympiacos team, and we've been wondering for years, when is he going to get the chance? When's he going to get the starting spot? And it has come at a very interesting time, like a crucial point at the season as well, where, Baskalakis had just been given a 2-year contract, and all of a sudden he's not Mendilibar's starting keeper anymore. So that does raise a lot of questions as to what's going to happen with Baskalakis. And so Lakis has even, as far as we're aware, hasn't signed a new deal. He's contract's up at the end of the season.
Is it?
Yes, he's one of many players on the pitch whose contract is up this summer. And hopefully we re-sign him because he's excellent. I think if he can be guaranteed the minutes he's been given now, next season, and be the starting keeper, because up to this point, he's been absolutely excellent. And only when he's conceded, it's normally his defenders who have let him down. I think that he 100% needs to be given a new contract, and because he's only 21, he's a keeper for the future, and he could be potentially the future starting goalkeeper for the Ethniki if he continues in this trajectory.
Do you think a loan move would work for him?
If we keep him on a new deal, if we give him a new deal, potentially. But then I think if he's starting next season, then there's no reason to. But but the whole Baskalakis thing confuses me because I don't feel like Baskalakis would have signed that new contract to know that he was going to then lose his place to Zolakis, sorry, and not play unless he's happy just to be the backup. But I mean, he'd be a very good backup. But I don't think Baskalakis did that much wrong, to be honest, to lose his spot. But Zolakis is doing such a good job in itself, it almost doesn't matter. So it will be interesting to see how that develops. But yes, pleased Olympiacos won. Team overall perform well. Shame we conceded two, but I'll take that, and we go to Turkey, and it's going to be tough. We haven't lost in Turkey for a while, and the last time we went to Turkey to play Fenerbahce, we beat them 3-0. So
Didn't
hopefully
Mesut have a really good game that day?
that was one of Mas best games for Olympiacos ever. He was unplayable that game, and
I
so
thought
was
he played very well as well
yeah
last week too.
he did
Underratedly so. I mean, Fortuna's
yeah
gets the headlines, but he was really up and down that right side very, very efficiently.
And this is the first time I think Mas has performed for a full season, or one of the first times. And I'm sure there's other seasons where that I've missed out, but he has really kind of stepped up and is a leader in the dressing room. And again, his contract's up.
Is
So
it? Oh,
yes,
jeez.
his contract's up. Fortuna's contract's up. El Kabi's contract's up. Solaki's contract's up. And a lot of loan players that need to be like made permanent, like Andre Horta, who probably will be. Dense probably will be, you'd hope, unless Wolves kind of decide, no, we actually want to try selling for 20 mil, but we'll see. So we'll move on to the next game. So Balk, very narrow 1-0 loss to Club Bruges. It was Vitesman, my friend Aiden, who's an out Bruges fan, will probably slap me for saying that wrong. He scored in the 6th minute, so very early goal for Club Bruges. And they I think they even had a penalty that was saved as well by Gdansky, sorry, just
Nasty,
completely. I was looking at the wrong team. I was like, that's not Bale's goalkeeper. And so yeah, Bale kind of got away with it a little bit. They didn't play particularly well. One shot on target all game, Alec. But at the same time, this is kind of what we said about Balk in the preview of last week. If they even if they lose by one goal margin, they can take this back to Dumba and absolutely outperform Club Brugge. Because even Brugge weren't that brilliant in that game, to be honest.
No, they weren't. And they will be leaving that match feeling like it's been a missed opportunity, because they did have the lion's share of the chances. I think there was one chance where Zivkovic put a brilliant ball in, but Ozdoyev couldn't get his head on it. That was probably the closest Power came to scoring, and it wasn't even a shot. So I think they did very, very well to get out of there with just a one goal disadvantage. And also, if you look at Club Brugge's away record versus their home record, you see that they don't travel well at all. I mean, I'm counting them up now. They've lost 8 matches away from home this season. At home, they've lost one. So that just kind of shows you that they can be got out away from home. But also, I think the biggest thing in that match, which I don't think I saw anybody really talking about, the commentator pointed it out. The commentator was going absolutely spare at the Club Brugge players, because he was like, there are three of you on like yellow card suspensions, and all three of you have got the yellow card this match. So they don't have their linchpin at the back, Mekele. He's not playing. He's their most like he's made the most appearances for them this season. But they've also lost their other centre back, Spielers, who got a concussion and a fracture, which means they're gonna be playing. I don't even know. Maybe even Dedryck Boyata. Do you remember him, Steve?
Yes, I do remember Boyata. He was at Celtic, wasn't he?
He was, and he's only played 177 minutes this season, and he's in line for his first start. Of the Europa Conference League, I think. But they're also missing Maxime Dekupe, their fullback, who's been amazing this season, had 9 assists, 3 goals. Skov Olsen is still out. Thiago, the top scorer, is out as well, because of suspension. Kasper Nielsen's still out. Dennis Odoi is still out. So 6 of their top 7 appearance makers this season are not available for this match. 6 out of their top 7,
Wow.
which I worked it out. I think they will have 2 players on the bench who you might consider sort of first team or around the first team. It looks like someone like Philipp Zinckernagel might play, or maybe Antonio Nusa. So they're really depleted, especially at the back. Like 3 of their first choice back 4 are out. So PAOK have got a really, really good opportunity to turn Toumba into a cauldron, as they do every
Yeah.
European match. I think if they play their game and a Club Brugge turn up without a plan, then I can see PAOK going through quite easily, actually.
Yeah, and I just looked back at Balk's season in Europe. They haven't lost at home. So just that their home record is absolutely excellent. So if they, I mean, it's going to be, it's with, like you said, Club Brugge have so many first team players out that this is a massive opportunity for Balk to absolutely turn the tie over, as they did in the previous round against Dynamo Zagreb, where they went away and lost 2-0 and then went back to Dumba and beat them. They could very well make it to the semi-finals. I think it's, I wouldn't say it's more or less likely than Olympiacos, but Olympiacos have the harder proposition. But Balk very well could do it. I think it's gonna be, it's, it could be a little bit more straightforward, but you know, I could be wrong. Tomorrow they could lose at home, first loss of the season in Europe at home and bomb out. But I am quietly confident about Balk, especially like you said with Dumba, and their fans will be absolutely rocking for it as well. So we'll have to see what happens with them. And there's a chance we could see two Greek clubs in the semi-finals. There's a chance. I'm not going to say it will happen, but it very well could, and that would be great for the coefficient as well. I don't, like we discussed it last week. I think, remind me, both club, even if both clubs don't get to the semi-final. Right, even if both clubs get to the semi-final, it doesn't necessarily mean that Greece have secured 15th place for next year.
Correct. Yeah, correct. I think we need basically 1 point, and you get 0.4 points for a win and 0.2 points for a draw, but you also get 0.2 points if you reach the semi-finals as well. So given that, I think if both teams win, then we will be, I think that might That's a tough one, actually. I think you still need someone to win in the semi-finals, basically, if both teams get through. And even then, it's very complicated. And I wish it was simpler, Steve, but it's not.
Don't worry,
You
they're
just
going to
have
make
to
it
wait
even
and see,
more.
basically. And I think when the semi-finals come out, it'll be a lot clearer. But the first things first, both teams need to get through. At least one team needs to get through for Greece to reach 15th
Let's
place.
see. And look, don't worry, Alec. They're going to make it even more complicated next season with the massive changes they're bringing to Europe. So just see how that goes. So that's stuff, I guess, in terms of all the competitions that Greek clubs are currently competing in the league in Europe. That's it for now. Well, just a few news items I want to touch on. So as you said, mentioned, José Luis Mendilibar has officially been announced as the Olympiacos manager for next season. He was renewed for the 2024-25 season. Really, really pleased because obviously he's done amazing work with Olympiacos. So regardless of what happens, whether we win the title or not, whether we go further in Europe or not, he's done an excellent job, and he's already started the process of building the squad he wants. He's looking at players from the B team, from the under 19s as well, which is really, really encouraging because we do need some of those talented players in our squad to get some experience, and it's good for Greek football if we actually start using our very talented academy. And speaking of the academy, under 19s will be playing against Nantes under 19s in the UEFA Youth League semi-final on Friday, the 19th of April. So this Friday at 1 p.m. I will probably be watching it, where either to celebrate Olympiacos getting to the semi-final of the Conference League or commiserating Olympiacos getting knocked out of the quarterfinals. But that'll be a really fun game as well. I'm really looking forward to that because if the under 19s get to the final of the youth league, that could be massive for the academy, and it's just good kind of representation of what Greek players at the youth level are capable of.
Yeah, it's a weird one though. If you look at the Super League 2 and you see Olympiacos struggling to stay in it, the B team, I should say. You would have thought with the number of players they've got on their books and also how well their under 19s are doing that they might inject a bit of quality into that team. But I think it's probably a wise move to make sure that you don't overexpose players too early in their careers. And play them in their age group basically, because there's a lot of the top players in the under 19s aren't 18 or 19, they're like 17 or 16 years old. So I think it does make sense. And yeah, I mean, it's the first time a Greek club has ever made it to the semi-finals of the UEFA Youth League, and if they make it to the final, it'll be a massive achievement. So yeah, I'll be watching that on Friday too.
We'll both keep an eye on that, and hopefully we Olympiacos progress. It'd be really, really cool. Oh, I don't even know who they play if they reach the. So they I can't remember who the. Let me just look at the UEFA Youth League set other semi-final because I haven't been keeping as much of a tab on it. So Porto or AC Milan. So they'll play either Porto or AC Milan if Olympiacos reach the final over Nantes. So we shall see about that. So next news item, we tweeted about this last week. So I don't know if you saw this, Alec, but it's more Greek Cup final news, and it's more sort of fascinating Ebor kind of trying to be diplomatic, I guess. So Ebor invited Panathinaikos and Aris to decide whether they want the match to be played in Volos without fans or play with the presence of fans but in another stadium. So this comes after Achilleas Veos informed Ebor that installing HD cameras and turnstiles will cost €260,000. He asked Ebor to cover part of the cost, €70,000, that being, in order to proceed with the project. However, Ebor refused to pay. So Ebor refused to pay €70,000 to make sure that fans can attend the game.
But
Pretty
hang on a
mad.
second. Are we talking about the same stadium here? Are we talking about the stadium in which Volos are currently playing Super League matches? Well, then there should be cameras there anyway, Steve. Like, what is Beos playing at? He should like it was already decided. This was the part of the measures that were necessary to bring fans back into stadiums was that you would have the cameras looking over the stadiums and looking over the gates as well to make sure people aren't sneaking in. I mean, is he doing it? Does he just not care anymore? Does he think that, oh, it's fine, Volos are going to get kind of liquidated at the end of the season? Who gives a shit? But yeah, Beos, why? What, just pay the money, man. Just pay. You've got enough money. You've got enough money. Just pay it.
And it's just ridiculous, honestly. Like, I think there's that, obviously, with the, how have they not put it installed these things yet, unless they've decided from next season they're going to do it, which I kind of understand because it's quite a big procedure to do mid-season, but also it's Ebel and they leave things to last minute, i.e. the Greek national team manager, which we'll get on. You know, we still haven't found that out yet. But it's just for Ebel as well, like asking Panathinaikos and Aris to decide what they want, like just make a decision. Like, it's like they don't want to make the decision themselves because they're too scared of looking bad. And so they're like, oh, Aris and Panathinaikos made this decision. This, if you don't like it, that's their fault. It's not our fault. We gave them the choice. And it's like, just pay the £70,000 to install the correct, you know, HD cameras and turnstiles, etc. Just pay that to Veos, who's covering the rest of it, by the way. And just do it and have fans there. But they're too scared to have fans. That's why they refused. They're too scared to have fans at the final.
You're absolutely right. They are a football federation, and one of the main jobs of a football federation is to organise a cup final. And after last season, I don't think they could organise a piss up in a brewery. It's ridiculous. What are the alternatives though, apart from the Panathinaikos?
You tell me. I mean, I don't even know. I guess it'd be a more modern stadium, which would have all these things installed already. So, like, Aiel Arena in Larissa is quite a modern stadium. I don't know if they have the latest stuff installed, but it'd be them. It'd be, I don't know, like Hagia Sophia probably has that stuff installed. Gara Eskagi, I presume, has it installed. Or Aga, I don't know. That's the national stadium, but you know, they can't even fix leaks in the stadium, or let alone have a, you know, have a team playing there. And
Do
it's
you know
just,
who Aris proposed as an alternative?
was it Dumba?
No, it was their
Oh,
stadium,
is there stuff? Yeah, of
Campus
course. Yeah, of
Michalidis.
course.
Like, you're gonna ask the clubs what they want, and they're just gonna say, well, let's play at home
Yeah,
then.
Panathinaikos will probably say the same thing about Leonforos. Oh, yeah, let's just host it at our home ground. Yeah, honestly, joke. And you know, this probably is partially due to Ebor just can't be bothered because they're go but all of the like Baldakos and his cronies are going to be out by the summer anyway with the elections and such, so they probably don't care. I mean, they just want to kind of go off into the sun, say they fixed Greek football when they arguably made it worse, and and leave it at that. Let someone else clean up, that spend the next few years cleaning up the mess before they get replaced as well. But there we go. That's the Greek Cup final. So at least we know that it might be at Volos, maybe, if unless the teams decide they don't want to play there. I don't know anymore. We'll give you more hilarious news on the Greek Cup final when we get it, and best believe it'll probably come out this week or after we finish recording. I guess like the last news item we'll talk about, Alec, is the new league format. So again, this isn't official, but what rumors have been suggesting is there's going to be a new Super League format for next season. So what would ha so the current format, obviously, as everyone knows, even though I'm going to tell you anyway, is it splits off in two. First to sixth play each other in a playoff round to decide the champion and decide who gets European places, and then the rest of the teams all fight for either being the best of the rest because they can't get into Europe and can't get relegated, and also the actual teams fighting to stay up and not go down into Super League Two. What is being proposed, and I guess this will, I don't know if this current, like I said, I don't know if the Super League Council and Ebor will decide this season or not, but it sounds like that's what they're going to go forward with, is it would still be a playoff format, but it would split off into three groups instead. So the top four would play each other. So in theory, it'd be Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, AEK, and BAOK would all be in a group by themselves. Then fifth to eighth would play each other in a mini league. And then after that, ninth to 14th, so the teams who are going to be fighting for relegation will play each other to stay up. And I presume that the mini league in between would be whoever gets the last European place. So whoever finishes top of and finishes fifth will get a place in Europe if there is a fifth place spot. And I it's similar to the Belgium format in that respect. I don't know if it'll be exactly the same in the sense of, you know, Belgium, I think they cut all their points in half when they go from the regular season into their playoff format. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I think, like with the current playoff format, it comes with its pros and cons. I mean, just to give my quick opinion, I think if they were to go ahead with it, I can see why they do it, because the fifth and sixth place spot in the playoffs as of this season has never competed with the top four. It's never been all six teams competing with each other. It's just been the big four competing with each other. and fifth and sixth just kind of being there to be the whipping boys. So putting them down to the middle league makes sense because it makes it more competitive for them, and they can fight to actually maybe get something or a European spot or whatever that league's going to entail. And then at the same time, the mid-table teams who don't get promoted to the playoff system don't have to just sit there and play seven games that essentially mean nothing to them, like the Adramitos, the Panzeraigos, and the Offi of the world, like they and Asteras as well. They don't have to just have a pointless rest of the season. They might actually have something to fight for, and then the relegation teams, etc., fight to stay up. But I don't know if I still don't know if I like the system. I feel like it's starting to overcomplicate it even more. And that, like Aris, for example, if they finish fifth, then I know they might still have a European spot to play for, but then, you know, they might also actually be competing for the title. There is that theory. What if they're like a point behind fourth place, and it's like a really close title risk, and they lose out? That's it. And then, I just, for me, I've always said it. I just want what it was before the playoffs, which is 16 teams. It's just a regular season of football. There isn't playoffs. Nothing splits off, and it just stays as that. But I can also understand why they want to do this. And now that I've droned on, give me your thoughts, Alec. What do you think?
I mean, this is the benefits of that system, and the only benefits of that system are all predicated on the fact that Greece would have five teams qualifying for European competitions the season after, which for a season like this season would be completely pointless because only four teams can qualify for Europe this season. And so what is the point? What is the point for those teams placed fifth to eighth, for playing those matches? They may as well all just like stand there on the pitch and pass the ball about because nothing changes. They're not going to win anything if they win all of their matches. They're not going to lose anything if they lose all of their matches. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Steve. It's overcomplicating something that really doesn't need to be that complicated. It's a football league, right? I think this is another case of people in charge, people in organizations and federations who need to justify their pay packet because at the moment they're just sitting there collecting fines from teams and trying to work out where they're going to hold a Greek Cup final, and so they're like, well, it's the same thing with like Arsene Wenger, keep proposing like new rules and new systems because people need to show that they are doing something and not just sitting at their desk doing nothing. So it's I wouldn't be a fan. I think it would be completely pointless and it would devalue the league even further, in my opinion.
And just on that as well, I think it massively benefits the top four as well, like the big four, because then they have to they go into a mini league all by themselves, and they're all essentially guaranteed Europe regardless. And then it means more money for them, and it means that, well, it might be quite an interesting proposal to have, you know, no Lamias, no Aris being there to for them to get, like, it's harsh to say guaranteed 6 points, but like very more likely to get those 6 points, which could benefit them. They have to just play each other and no one else. There's no smaller games. They are just going to duke it out for the title, which in theory could work, but I just don't think it benefits the rest of the league enough. I would be very surprised if the Super League Council vote for this. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I mean, I guess it depends how many people you buy out to vote in your favor, but let's see. This is format proposed format is it, like I said, it has its benefits and has its kind of drawbacks as well. I think that it could be good for a bit, but like I said, I think this football's becoming way too overcomplicated for its own good. And I feel like you share my feelings on that as well.
Amen.
So.
It also just solidifies the sort of inequality in the Greek league. And if you look at other leagues in Europe and even to leagues like the Premier League, I mean, you have what people term the Big Six, and people are calling it a cartel now. But if you look at the top six in the Premier League for the past like 25 seasons, only six times has the Big Six been in the top six,
I
and
saw
only the top six. So
that.
a football league is not just its best four teams, for example. It's a league. It is by definition everybody in that league, and no matter how small you are, whether you're Olympiakos or Lamia or Kifisia, you play a part in that league, and that's what you win when you get promotion from the Super League too. So if you're just going to get rid of that and say, okay, well, we know that you guys are here as well, but really, everyone really cares about the top four teams playing each other. So if you guys just play your own league over there, and we'll play this league over here where all the eyeballs are going to be on it. It also damages sort of I think the money that these teams would get in as well, because who's going to be wanting to watch Panathinaikos versus Offi when both teams have nothing to play for and they're stuck in this little three team four team league in the middle of the season? It doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I think we both agree on all of these points.
Yep. So new format could work. Would rather it just be 16 teams. But again, and again, like I guess just to finish, it would be like, I guess I can see why they haven't gone back to that because if you recall, when there was a 16 team league and there was no playoffs, teams would get relegated because they financially couldn't stay up in the Super League. But times are different now, and I feel like I'd like to think slash hope that that wouldn't happen as now if as much if at all. And I really hope that at some point they see that, and I think it's better for the sport in Greece that it be just a simple normal league format. But I don't run Greek football. I don't think I really want to either. So we'll end off with a question. So we put out like a little message at the end on Spotify saying, "What would you like us to chat about on the podcast?" So if anyone wants to send us any of your questions, we'll try and fit them in at the very end, or you know, and any interesting talking points we'll bring up during an episode. So we've got Bill Zed here, who said, talk about Ange Postecoglou and his previous statement years ago that he would love to manage the Ethniki, and talk about thoughts on how you think he would fare as Greek coach. I mean, we'll keep this very brief because I've said it a million times. I want Ange Postecoglou to be manager of Greece. He would be perfect for it. I think he plays a great style of football. He's doing reasonably well at Tottenham for his first season, and I think he has that passion for Greece. He said it many times. I even tweeted that when someone said Happy Easter to him, he was like, "Oh, sorry, mate, my Easter's not till the end of the month because I'm Greek Orthodox." I'm like, "Yes, Ange, bravo, Reton, Ange Postecoglou." But yeah, I think that the door will always be open for him, but it's just whether Ebel actually want to bring him in, and obviously he's very busy at the moment with Spurs, so and he won't manage a national team and a club team at the same time. But I think he would do well with Greece personally. If if he came in right now with the current players at his disposal, I think he'd qualify us for a major tournament. He's done it with Australia, and he won the Asian Cup with Australia as well, if I recall. So yeah, Alec, any thoughts?
Yeah, being a national team manager is completely different to being a club manager, which is why you see people like Gareth Southgate getting relative success when, if they were in the Premier League, Gareth Southgate would be out of a job within 3 months. He what you need as a national team manager is consistency and an ability to bring players together and create this sort of metaphysical good harmony within the squad. And I think Ange Postecoglou is, if anybody has brought a feel-good factor to the Premier League this season, it has been Ange Postecoglou. I've been speaking to plenty of Spurs fans, and they all absolutely adore him. And they all say that this is the best time to be a Spurs fan since Mauricio Pochettino left. So that's a good like 5 years or so. And it's more just, it's the vibes. I don't know any other way to describe it. They just love the kind of the energy that he brings, not only to press conferences, but also the energy he seems to imbue in his players as well. The style of football they play is very active and energetic and sort of uncompromising. He has his principles and he knows how he wants his teams to play. And I think, yeah, he would be a dream for the Ethniki. I just wonder if the Ethniki would be a dream for him. That's the only issue. Not in the sense of I think he would love to manage his national team and his place of birth, but I think obviously the politics, we know how things are in Greece and how complicated things are, and just to get things done like organize a cup final tends to be a massive undertaking. So I think he would find it maybe slightly difficult to have to deal with that side of things. Although at the moment he's having to deal with someone like Daniel Levy, who, as we all know, isn't the kind of the easiest person to get
Mm.
along with, the most like I was going to say lubricating character in the Premier League. And I think in a weird metaphor like that, it sort of fits.
And I agree with you. I think it's the proposal, it's the timing, and it has to be the right situation for Ange to come in and be manager of Greece. And as we said, Greece don't currently have a manager, even though there's a few candidates available. You know, Yorgos Donis has recently left his role in Saudi Arabia. Fernando Santos has also been sacked by Besiktas, as we said. Gus Poyet is still a consideration, according to Takis Baltakos as well. So it's going to be we might not find out who's manager of Greece. It certainly won't be Ange at the moment, not unless Tottenham sack him for no reason whatsoever. But yeah, my hope is one day it's Ange, and I think that he really wants it, and he's bit like I said, he's been quoted to say that that's what he would love to do before he retires, and I hope that he gets that chance in the right circumstances, because there's no point having Ange there if you don't allow him to flourish as a manager there and kind of let him deal with the national team and l not let the politics get the better of, you know, what we have, which is a talented squad. But I guess we will leave it there, Alex. I guess thank you everyone for listening, and we'll be back after the, well, depending on how Greek clubs do in Europe, we'll be back on a potentially end of the week, but we may also not be back till next week after the Super League fixtures being played as well. And I guess it just depends on time more than anything else. But thank you so much for listening. Please give us a follow on our socials if you haven't already. We are on X, we are on Facebook and Instagram. And if you haven't already, recommend the podcast to someone. Leave us a 5-star review, but bumps us up in the charts. And we really appreciate all the support you guys have given us on all of our platforms. And I guess, Alec, thank you very much for joining me again today.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Pleasure.
Lovely. Well, we will see you next time. Hopefully, seeing both Greek clubs reach the Conference League semi-finals. We'll catch you then.